Konnichiwa.
Genki desu, something like that. That's that means it means how are you or
Oh,
something,
okay. I don't know.
or
I feel like I know. I have no idea.
it's something like that. I mean, I probably said that it's either how are you or it means I'm good. I don't know, like it's one of those because it's Daniel from church who told me.
Oh, okay.
Wow, we're in Japan. We
We're
think
in
we're so
Japan.
we think we're so cool.
Yeah, apparently. Oh my gosh.
Food is great, guys.
It's honestly, it was just for it's like if you ever watch The Office and Daryl, I'm a tripper now. Yeah. Daryl's like, hey, let's do a couple of these since we're here. Oh, this person did that crazy thing, must be doing something crazy right now. Like, we're doing a talking head now
Oh, I
of, you know what I mean?
see.
Okay. The food is so good. I am overwhelmed by what we're seeing in Japan, even though we're not in Japan yet, technically, but we are because we're recording this
I can just feel
podcast in the
it.
future. I can just tell we're having the best time.
Yeah,
And it's
wow.
Thanksgiving week, which is crazy because by then we will have created something for y'all to
The
purchase.
21st, we will be in Kyoto.
Yep, we're staying at a, the tribute. Oh, I didn't tell you that.
We're
Take
staying in a
that
nice place.
off. Yeah. Anyway, wow, it's crazy. It's crazy to be here, and it's just crazy to think that by this time we actually will be there. I hope you guys are having, for those who do celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you're having an exciting, hope this week brings fun and joy rather than just kind of like stress or not great things. I know being around family can honestly be a lot in both ways. It can be really fun and just like, oh, my heart needs this and it's the holidays, or it can bring up a lot of trauma, right? And so I hope you're taking care of your heart in the best way that you know how, whether it's good or it's something you just need an extra hug today. Know that we're sending you all of the love from across the world.
And I hope you're not alone either.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're not with family, maybe try to do something with friends or something.
Like
Like,
anything.
I think it would be really, really good for you. We're gonna be in Japan doing very unconventional Thanksgiving.
Yeah, this is
So
the first time I'm not, actually, this is literally the first time, except for 1 year in my whole life, where I've not been home for Thanksgiving. So this is actually really weird. Yeah, because last time I went with you to Reading. And typically I go home for Thanksgiving. So my dad cooks amazing Thanksgiving food. I'm like, why would I miss that? Maybe two times I didn't go when I was in Reading both times.
that's fun.
Which, but
Already.
yeah, it was good. My dad's food's better, but that was
I
fine.
know, but there was like friends and stuff. That's so
Yeah,
fun.
sure. I know that was a fun time game and everything. But yeah, this is weird. But Matthew, you don't celebrate Thanksgiving in Belgium. So this to you is like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like I like Thanksgiving. I do, but for me, if you ask me if I'd rather be in Japan or doing things with family, I'd probably pick Japan because like. I have other times where I can be with family.
I hear you. Not on Thanksgiving, but it's fine. But yeah,
Well, you
it's
chose Japan over family.
I didn't know the dates until later.
Okay, stop.
But yeah, this is exciting. I hope you guys are having a good time this week. And I don't know, I'm saying like I don't know. Right now, whenever I'm typically in Thanksgiving mode, it's cold and it's like obviously the leaves are all off the trees and the grass is like kind of frost bit frost over it because it's cold. I'm looking at our window and I smell really good food and I'm in a sweater getting ready for Thanksgiving, making the three things I make all the time, which is my Brussels sprouts bacon side dish thing. Amazing. My pumpkin cake, the best. And then there's, oh, the mac and cheese. I started creating mac and cheese the last 2 years and hit every time. I'm not gonna lie. These are smashes every time. I'm not gonna lie. I'm pretty good.
What do you think about putting blue cheese in mac and cheese?
I think I do.
Okay.
Almost positive, but I
Really?
think there's maybe not.
Because that has a lot of flavor. A little truffle oil.
Okay, listen. There's like 20 cheeses in this mac and cheese. Oh, anyway. But right now we're probably eating sushi. I don't know. I don't know what we're eating. This is just weird, but it's exciting
Chicken
to be in a
katsu.
different culture. It's exciting. We're gonna figure it out and have a fun time.
Not speak English.
And also, by this time, there should be a link below. No, because it'd be coming out on Black Friday. So it would not be linked below, but be looking out for our Black Friday deal,
Yeah.
which will be all of our master classes. We have a couple of master classes that we've created throughout, and it's going to be at a price for to get them all in a bundle, and you have access to all of them for the rest of your life. And they're really good master classes. One is called Beyond Walls, which is based off of vulnerability in a safe place. How do I be vulnerable with my partner vulnerable about my relationship anxiety, vulnerable about anything. And how do I share it with them? And if you're somebody who's triggered by what they're sharing, how do I hold what I'm feeling and hold space for them in order for me to be a safe place for them to share what they want to share, and vice versa? It's a really, really good masterclass. Probably one of the best we've done. On top of our Navigating the Storm one, I think was really, really good too. In the past, now we've done another one, but Navigating the Storm is about?
It's about conflict and how to navigate conflict better. That's why we said Navigating the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're mapping out your conflict style as well. Conflict and communication style with your partner in order to figure out how to change that cycle and be able to do something different. Like once you know what's going on in your cycle, we talk about how to reroute it in order for you to kind of have that safe place. So Navigating the Storm and Beyond Walls go hand in hand, because you can't handle conflict well in our mind if you don't know how to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it really is those are really two really good masterclasses together.
Yeah.
And we also just did one right now. Last week we did one.
Finding the One. So if you're wondering if there's someone better out there for you, or if you're not sure the person you're with is the one you want to end up with, or if you believe in the concept of the one, that there's like this one perfect match for you, this for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all great.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the other, it's kind of like a bonus one too, of are you with the right person? It was a masterclass we did. I think this will be included in as well. I don't want to speak out of turn. But I believe this will be in as well. We kind of map out how to map out the red flags, yellow flags, and green flags in a relationship. So that one should be in there as well. In this bundle.
Yeah.
So that one's a good one. And I think that is it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So, we have a bunch of masterclasses, and you can obviously get them all for obviously a very low rate. So we're excited to have that out there. And it'll be out there soon. So look out for that. So it'll be out in the next, well, obviously on Black Friday, which is the 24th. So in like 2 days. No, for you, 3 days. So look out for that as well. Anyway, as we mentioned in our last podcast, what are we doing today, babe?
We are doing part two of like our Q&A that we did on Perch and on our Instagram, which is Perch's platform that we use to have our community and also for people to ask us questions. Mm-hmm. Some people submitted questions, or a few, and we're just trying to do all of them or most of them, because we do have a few. So yeah, let's do this.
Let's jump on in. Okay, so this one is relationship anxiety and negative feelings. So this question's kind of jumbled a little bit, so I'll just kind of do my best to
read it's a little, well. The phrasing is a little complicated, mm-hmm. but I think we understand
the gist of what is being said.
Yes.
So pretty much the question is, can you talk about the relationship, how negative feelings in a relationship and relationship anxiety can go hand in hand, in a sense, and how do we navigate through that? So in a sense, if I have negative feelings of, oh, my partner's kind of annoying, or this thing they do is just super annoying, but it's triggered by the relationship anxiety. But then in times that I'm not feeling anxious, it doesn't bother me very much. But I kind of get stuck in this cycle of, should these things matter? Should I actually fix them? Or is it just because of my relationship anxiety? What's right? What's wrong? It's kind of those questions back and forth.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of layer to that question in my head, personally. I feel like the first thing that I have in mind is, you know, can the negative feeling affect the relationship anxiety? I mean, for me, yes, that's a given. You know, it's like if you're someone who has relationship anxiety and something your partner does annoys you or whatever, you feel annoyed because of something they did, then obviously, like if you have anxiety, you know, if you keep in mind that, you know, when you have relationship anxiety, your brain is like really looking for any sign that says, oh, your relationship is wrong, you should leave.
Mm.
Then if something annoys you, your brain's going to pick that up and be like, oh, you see, like, you shouldn't be annoyed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
totally,
here's another reason why my anxiety is legit and it would be good for me to leave,
mm-hmm.
because I feel annoyed or upset or whatever, or hurt, you know, if because sometimes they can be hurt too, because that happens. So that's what I have in mind, is like, can it play as like a factor in your anxiety? I think for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, that's obvious. Now, the other one too is like, can you be more easily triggered when you have anxiety? Like, can you be more easily triggered by something a partner is doing when you have anxiety? Yes, because when you have anxiety, you don't feel great.
Sure.
And so I do think that you can be more irritable when you're going through a time where you don't feel super peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel, you feel anxious. Like, for me, I can speak for myself too, because sometimes I feel like when I'm anxious about something, I get in my head, it like, things can annoy me more easily because I'm in my head and I'm not in a great space. Like, yeah. I'm in a funk, you know?
Exactly.
So that's another layer too, is like, oh yeah, like obviously that can play. So that can also mean that, you know, this behavior could probably be more easily handled if you were not experiencing anxiety. Because sure. When you experience anxiety and you let it like kind of rule you, you're not yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't base the behavior that you have when you have anxiety as like your normal, like healthy behavior.
Right. Yeah. And I think too, just there's a question you asked in between that of whenever you're feeling anxious, we know that those questions start to spiral, right? We always have questions. Anxiety is always going to bring some sort of questions. And you can see the questions you have right now of, why do they affect me so much now? Or what if I'm stuck in this? What if I'm annoyed by this for the rest of my life? Kind of this, it jumps. Anxiety always jumped, and anxiety always has questions. And so you can see right now very quickly, these are just based off of anxiety rather than actually based on the situation. And sure, are you going to be annoyed at your partner in certain situations? Of course you are, right? I feel like that's a given. I mean, they're not always going to be like, wow, everything I do is so perfect. I love it. Like, you, there's days when you just get extra annoyed for certain things. And there's times when it's just kind of like, okay, I really don't love that. Can you not do that or whatever? And am I trying to change the person? No. And at the end of the day, sure, I know I can be rigid at times. And I know that it sounds like in yours, seems like your heart is really, really good too, because you're even saying that you don't want them to have to change, right? Which I think is really, really good, because that is who they are. Whatever they're doing, I'm sure it's just something of like a little quirk or thing.
If it's quirky, yeah.
Right.
If it's not quirky and they say that, then I think that's something else. Because
who says what?
No, like if the behavior is actually a behavior that's like harmful and they're saying, oh, it's just how I am, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then that's something else. Because then there's need for a conversation to happen, because maybe the person is just not self-aware that they actually need to change.
Right. Yeah.
Because if someone does that, it's not great. I think that's a yellow flag, to be honest.
Mm.
If like someone has like this maybe negative habit that they do, and they're like, just like, they're like, oh, that's just how I am. Like, you need to accept me like that.
Sure.
Then I think there's something to, you know, talk about there.
Mm.
But that's if that's the case.
Totally.
If it's something that obviously like it's not harmful at all to the relationship.
Right. It's just kind of like, that's kind of annoying.
Yeah. Then that's something else. But if it's, I just wanted to
talk about that. I think that's a good disclaimer, no matter what.
But I think people say that too, kind of like to justify themselves for like poor behavior.
This person's saying that, this is what this person's saying. It sounds like he or she is saying like, oh, I don't want to change them type of thing. So I don't know if the partner's saying it or the person who's asking the question is saying it. It seems like a person's asking the question is saying it.
Yeah.
But either way, I think that's a good way of putting it, of we don't want to ever make excuses for things that are actually not great. And if it's anything that's harmful, but if it's just something where it's just like this quirk or a part of who they are, that's one thing.
Yeah, because this is intense. I could be stuck annoyed when they do this for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
depending on what it is, sure.
If it's a quirky thing and you're being annoyed by something they do, then I think you're making a bigger deal for something that doesn't need to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it's, they like to, it's just who they are. I guess, you know, we had more details. I don't know what it is. You know, sure. I don't know what is that thing that annoys you.
Yeah,
that
that's true.
Is part of who they are, mm-hmm. you know. They like to play video games. Oh, man.
You like to bite your fingers. That annoys me, but.
Yeah, I get that. That's true. Well, I play video games or, you know, whatever that it can be. It's like, okay, well, those are not things that are harmful to your relationship.
No.
Depending on, obviously, if the connection is put first. I mean, obviously, for me, like, biting my fingers, that's not going to be harmful to our
I hear it. Kind of relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great.
No, but obviously, that's a joke. But it is something I've brought up to Matthew multiple times. Like, I do not like that. But then it's kind of just like, just let me be. I'm like, whatever. It's
I've
not,
tried to stop.
It's not the biggest thing in the world.
I've tried to stop, but it's hard. But I still believe I will stop.
I even bought a whole thing and everything. And he's like, I don't want this. I'm like, okay. Whatever, I'm over it. It's fine. It's one of those things. And then we, you know, it's like
it's better for me to bite my fingers than to binge food.
Okay. That's not even the same thing. But you're right.
No, it can be.
You could be sucking your thumb. I think I'd tell you, but that's not happening. Okay.
That's kind of satisfying.
Okay, stop.
I just tried.
But you know,
now. Just kidding.
There's a lot of things, but I think that you have to be able to know the category for yourself of, is it just this kind of annoying thing that they do that just bothers me, but it's not at all impacting me for real?
Yeah.
Or is it actually a quirk or thing that actually does bother you and it could be harmful or not great long-term? Like, is it, if it's like porn, for example, that's not who they are. You know what I mean? That's actually not okay. That's a whole different thing, right? But, you know, I'm just trying to like jump into situations in case it's something that's bigger than
I wish we had context.
What it was. Yeah.
Example. So if you ask a question, you know, you can always give us context if you want to ask another one,
mm-hmm.
whatever. That's
I don't even think there was an email on
this. What we did to the best of our abilities.
Yeah.
Next question.
Oops. Sorry.
So.
Okay.
That's an interesting one. I feel like we haven't really talked about
actually,
things like that. So the question is, what to do about not being able to accept his past? Sometimes I hear something about my boyfriend's past, about other girls and all stuff. When we see them, I just can't ask questions about the things that happened between them, even if it was
less than 10 years ago.
More than 10 years ago. Then I become very irritated, jealous, and I feel some sort of, I feel dirty feeling. And I just can't stop thinking about it. I stay feeling like that. At some point, it is gone when I have enough to do and my mind is somewhere else.
Less than 10 years ago. Sorry. If it airs that way, then it's less than.
No, that's more.
The bigger number always is eaten. That's how I learned it in school.
What?
Yeah.
No, but that means more. Like, if it was less, it'd be the other way. Because then this part is whatever. It
okay,
doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Around 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Whatever I have to do in my mind. And that. But it really annoys me that I just cannot let it go and need to know everything. My boyfriend is really irritated by it because he loves me to the moon and back. Okay, that's interesting. But I still think that I'm right with the number thing.
Probably. Somebody's coming.
Listen, accepting someone's past, I feel like that's a whole thing. It can be a whole thing. I feel like, well, first of all, everybody has a past. That's something to keep in mind. And no matter who you're with, everybody has history.
Yeah.
For me personally, I feel like I never struggle to accept my significant other's past. I didn't have a hard time accepting your past. I was pretty... For me, I didn't really care because for me, like, your past never, like, defines who you are. Can it influence who you are? Yes, but do you let it define you is a different question. Like, does whatever you did in your past affect how you love me or how you behave in this relationship? Not really. You know, like for me, that's not, if you're someone that was like a growth oriented mindset, I don't think that it mattered much for me personally. I remember like when people were asking me before we were married, like people would be like, what if like you're the person you end up getting married to, like she used to be a prostitute before or whatever. I think, would I have like maybe insecurities of like, cause I was a virgin, you know, yeah. Like, oh, maybe she has a lot of experience in that area. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but would I be like, oh no, I can't marry you because you were like that. If it was something that she like changed and like, you know, she changed her whole lifestyle and yeah. like she decided to really like get a fresh start or whatever. I just don't think that I would care. Mm-hmm. But obviously, who am I to speak? I'm not with someone who was like that.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the past matter, no. I could understand why those feelings are coming up. Because I think you obviously didn't have like an extensive dating history at all. But if I was like running into these girls all the time, for example, and
you're that's frustrating. Them,
that would be hard. I'll be honest with you. I know myself, that would be hard.
Yeah, I think for me, it could be the same. But it really depends on what happened, you know?
Totally.
Because I've run into your exes and I'm not annoyed at all.
Yeah.
I don't care. I know I'm so much better.
Just kidding. They weren't great, so. But yeah, that's true. You've run into one, so. Like,
cool. I know. Yeah, hey, I got so much experience, guys. I ran into one ex.
I think that... one, I want to say I understand. I understand that would be hard. I understand that it would feel difficult to be in a situation where you're around that all the time. And it sounds like whenever you run into them, you feel this stuckness of like, okay, I can't bring it up because it happened so long ago. But then you feel irritated. Even if you don't bring it up, you feel all the feelings of it anyway, and then it doesn't really get resolved.
Yeah.
I think it's normal and I think it's okay, I should say, for you to ask him like, hey, or just bring up like, hey, I am feeling really insecure when this is coming up. Because the thing is, the problem isn't the fact that you're jealous and insecure. The problem isn't that you're jealous and feeling irritated. The problem is that you're feeling some sort of insecurity that's showing up and then you're responding and reacting from that way and from that space. And so if you actually acknowledge what it is and acknowledge to your partner of like, hey, I am, every time I see an ex, I know that I feel really insecure and I feel like I'm not good enough, or I feel like I'm comparing myself, or I'm feeling whatever. That's the space where your partner can hold that space and be like, obviously, you know, he loves you, but you can still bring it up to him and just be like, hey, I think I just need to bring it up. And then I'm going to do what I need to do to kind of continue moving on. Cause you staying and stuck in that situation isn't helpful either. And that's probably where I'm going to see maybe he feels irritated. Cause like I can prove to you all that I want and I try to, but you can still be stuck in that space no matter how much he proves it to you, because it's coming from a place of insecurity. It's nothing to do really fully with him. It's something that it's coming up for you. And so I'll say that whenever you're in that situation, don't hesitate to kind of like, hey, I'm going to go out for a walk real quick, for example, just go outside and just kind of like, you have to be able to speak that truth to yourself. Like, you know what? Like your partner is a past. Okay. But I know that I'm good enough because I am worthy enough to be chosen. My worth doesn't come from his choice, but I'm worthy, period. Right. Like I am a catch. He left these people for whatever reason. I don't know what a reason was, but at the end of the day, he is with you and he's choosing you and he loves you. And so you have to be able to believe that that's true and believe that your worth isn't comparable, if that makes sense. And I think that that's something that I can struggle with at times of like, oh, it's like, I feel like my worth is comparable at times of like, oh my gosh, how great was she? And why did they leave? And am I good enough for him? Blah, blah, whatever, you know what I mean? When in reality, those questions are worthless because they're in the past. You know what I mean? They're nothing in the present is really being affected except for your own fears and feelings that are coming up. And so getting to the root of what you're actually feeling and actually showing up for you, I think is going to make the biggest difference of what is coming up for you? What lie and insecurity is showing up for you in that moment? Is it the fact that you feel worthless? Is it the fact that you feel like replaceable? Do you feel what lies showing up and address it in that moment? And do the work to heal now, right? Like, cause you don't want that to have to come up in the future when you guys are ready. I don't know, let's just say you guys get married or you guys you know, have a family. You don't want to ever have that girl come up and like, oh my gosh, you're in that space again. When in reality, it's like, girl, you have a whole history with this guy at this point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I mean, everything you're saying is good. I guess, I mean, you also finished saying that he loves you to the moon and back. So that's good.
Yeah, I'm glad they
know that. If you know that, like, he's really, like, you know, committed to you and he really loves you, then I think that's also another reason of, like, oh, like, I don't really need to worry about those other people. I know I'm safe and secure and I trust my partner, because at the end of the day, like, something that we talked about in other podcasts or whatever, is trust is something that's given. So you can't, like, if you're in that position, like, maybe your boyfriend also feels like he needs to earn your trust all the time, and that's why he's irritated. But your boyfriend shouldn't have to earn your trust. You need to give him your trust. Like, trust is something that it's a gift. So in a healthy relationship, trust is given. In a relationship where there's, you know, maybe hurt or betrayal or whatever, or it's toxic, usually people feel like they need to earn each other's trust. Mm. So if you know your relationship is good and healthy, then you need to give him trust. And if you feel like you're again in that space, maybe try to be aware and catch yourself and be like, oh, am I giving him trust right now, or am I just being scared and stressed?
Right.
Yeah. I guess for me, another thing, because you said that you cannot ask questions about things that happened. So you can't ask, like, you because it triggers you, or because, like, you're not allowed to talk about it. Like, I guess I was confused about that.
That's a good question.
Because if you're not allowed to talk about it, then that's a whole other thing too. Because that maybe is not great. Because obviously, like, is he hiding things from you? Like, is he uncomfortable talking about something? I guess that's something that I don't really understand in the way the question was asked. But she says she can't ask because then she becomes irritated. So my guess is that you're saying that you can't ask because you're triggered. Things that happen
between them. Then I become irritated because I can't ask. So it seems like that's what I'm interpreting as, like, because it's a period. So I don't know if it's a good question. I don't know if you're feeling irritated because you can't ask, or you feel irritated because
you're getting triggered. You're getting triggered by the exes.
And you don't even want to bring it up, but then you're triggered anyway. I think that's something. If you want to know those situations, do you need to know the details? No. But if it's something where you see these people and you don't know this full on history, like, I think it's, I don't know. I think that's interesting. I don't know to what extent you feel like it's necessary. If it's been less than 10 years ago or more than 10 years ago, at that point, it does feel a long time. But
that's a long time.
Yeah. Like, a person, he's a completely different person at this point.
Yeah.
But you also have, I do think that in my mind, you correct me if I'm wrong, what you think, but I think that you, if you're going to date somebody, I think you have the right to know.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you gave me details about your past exes and stuff, but I feel like I never asked you because I feel like I needed to know. Mm-hmm. It was more like, I'm just curious. It was more like, curiosity, more than like, I need to know that. No, I mean, I don't really, because
it wouldn't have changed anything.
It would have changed nothing about our relationship. So for me, I guess, you know, if it was that long ago, I understand, like, for example, if he doesn't necessarily want to talk about it because he thinks that, like, it's not going to be any, like, beneficial, or if because she's feeling insecure, he doesn't want to give into her insecurity. Like, you know what I mean? You don't want to
feed it.
Mm-hmm. You can reassure her, but it's not by saying, oh, okay, this is what I did with the exes. That's not going to reassure her at all. So I understand that I would get irritated.
Personally. I think I would want to know, like, okay, great. Like, you guys dated. How long did you guys date for? And then why'd you guys break up? Those are two things that I don't even need to care about. I don't really care or need the details of, like, it sucks here. You know what I mean? I don't, why, that's not important at all. I do think, though, that it's like, it's just something to know, like, okay, like, obviously, if it was 10 years ago, I'm curious, like, it's also information to know, like, who they were before and, like, who they are now. It's just interesting. But maybe get clarity on that, because we're unsure of maybe what you're meaning by that. But I hope that's helpful.
Yeah. Let's
go to this question, and then we will wrap up.
Next. Okay. Do you want to read it, or?
Okay. What to do when relationship anxiety is causing both people to doubt moving forward in the relationship? My relationship anxiety has caused me to put off getting married to my partner for years now. Oh. Now we are at the point if we even are going to move forward. I don't want to lose him, but not sure what I can do to move past this. Also to note, I grew up with married parents, but it was extremely chaotic and unhealthy.
You know, I think that that's something a lot of people experience in terms of like, if both people experience anxiety, a lot of people would question their relationship.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, dang, like, what if we're... I think that happens a lot when we rely on each other. Like, sometimes I feel like, if I'm being honest, and you know that, sometimes for some things I feel like I can rely on how... Like, I feel anxious about something, and then I go up to you, and then if you don't feel anxious about it, then I feel good. But if you feel anxious about it, I'm like, oh, dang, like, then maybe I need to be concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's not good. Because... that means you're really making the other person your source of peace and your your guide, and they should not be responsible for that. They're not in charge of making you feel better or making you feel safe about your insecurities. So I've definitely realized that, you know, that I was doing that for a while, and I've been trying to get better because I'm like, you know, I shouldn't. The way I feel about something, about a situation, should not be dictated by how you feel. Especially because that's, you know, my vision of things, but especially as a man, like if someone in the relationship needs to be strong about some things, about decisions and stuff, I feel like it needs to be me because I'm the man. You know what I mean? Mm. And I just didn't want you to have that place in our relationship because it's too much pressure on you to be like the safe... the person who's safe about things and me being the one who's like, because it's kind of like, oh, I'm allowing myself to be anxious, but I'm not allowing you to be.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I don't know about this. I'm not sure about that. And then I go up to you and you're like, no, it's okay. And I'm like, okay, then I'm fine. But if you say, well, I don't know either. Like, what should we do? And then it's like, oh crap, this is more serious than I thought because we're both anxious.
Yeah.
But it's just not that there's, it's unhealthy to do that.
Yeah.
So I think in that aspect of that question, it seems like you two are doing that because both of you have anxiety. It seems like you're saying that you're both doubting your relationship because of that, because you both have anxiety and it's kind of like triggering each other's anxiety. And so that makes you concerned about, oh, what is this really a good relationship? Like, should we get married or not? There's probably I feel like we don't necessarily have the time to really entangle the whole thing, because there might be a lot to uproot, because anxiety is always rooted in some deep fears and beliefs that we have.
Right. Well, she put, he or she wrote in the last part, she grew up with parents who were married and it was extremely chaotic and unhealthy. And I think right there, there's a root lie that you are believing about marriage there that's causing you not to want to move forward. If we have anything that subconsciously is, there's fear involved in something we're doing, we will completely self-sabotage it because at the part, like there's parts of you that are trying to protect you from doing that because it feels very scary to make that next level. When in reality, when you guys, I don't know how long you guys have been together for, but it sounds like you've been pushing off marriage for years. So in my mind, at least two to three, which is a lot of time. And I think this is a good question, but I want to say, like, at what point will you no longer let fear get in the way of your making a decision? Because it sounds like you've let fear like run your life for a while. And what have you done to help move past that fear? Because right now it sounds like, you know, at least where the root is brewing. You may not know the full on root like of what the lies are. Maybe you do, but you know where it's coming from. That's really good information. Mm-hmm. And have you gotten help for it? Are you seeing a therapist? Are you seeing a coach? Are you doing something to help with that? Because I think that's going to make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you do want to get married with this man, it sounds like there's work that you need to start doing in order to get there. Because we're at the end of the year soon, you know, and you do want to have another year, you know, go by where that's getting in the way.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you don't. That's why you're asking the question, which I think is huge for you to acknowledge that this is something that you don't want to experience anymore. And so to answer your question of how do you, like, what do you do? Well, it sounds like the both of you two need to either get couples counseling, or if you're the one that's maybe have prevented it from happening for a while because of the own fears you're experiencing, then that sounds like something that you need to, it would be helpful for you to get the help that you need in order for you to get that freedom. Because you don't want to have another year go by and that's what you're experiencing and feeling.
Yeah. And then, and I think that if you're both like thinking about marrying each other, that means that there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
That means that there's something worth fighting for there. And yeah, putting off getting married might not help.
Yeah.
But getting help is really, really crucial because there's something to fight for there. And yeah, so like you said, like counseling or therapy, we also, us, we obviously have a lot of resources, especially for that type of question. It's like the masterclass will be, I think, really helpful.
Masterclass is over by now, but yes.
No, but they can purchase it.
Yes, I'm just saying.
The masterclass about the one, they can, you can purchase that. We have another one about, are you with the right person? That's something also that we have. Coaching, obviously. And then our community, you know, our community would probably be the, because the thing with community, our community, you get something there that, well, first of all, you get access to the masterclasses that we come out with and live calls and stuff like that. But besides that, because, you know, you see one masterclass once, that's great, brings you some relief. But working through your anxiety can take longer than that. Just not one masterclass, I will say, will give you breakthrough, but it's not going to solve everything. And there's things that take place over time. So the community would be helpful in the way that it gives you accountability that you don't get with a masterclass. Because the masterclass is one off. Boom.
Yeah.
Community is, oh, I do get support from other people who can call out my anxiety and who can help me see things for what they are rather than like letting my anxiety influence me. Because sometimes when you're stuck in that spiral, you know, it's hard to go back to the truth. But if you have someone to reach out to, then it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that's just, I just wanted to put that out there. You know, it's really, especially if you're thinking about marriage, like you're thinking about something that's for life. So, you know, investing in those helps would be really, really good for you, I think.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We hope that was helpful. We hope that was helpful. Yeah. And we hope that those questions felt full and that you felt like you got something from those. And we will put the links below at this point for... We talked about a couple of things. So we'll talk about, we'll put a link below for our membership. Be on the lookout for our bundle for our masterclasses available. And also for you, even the group coaching waitlist, I think will be helpful for you as well in this context. So anyway, we hope these questions were good. We hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving if that's what you celebrate. And if you like this episode, don't forget to rate it, write a review, subscribe to the podcast,
share.
And share it to somebody who needs to hear it. And we will talk to you all. Again, we'll be in Japan in the next episode. So we'll talk to you all next week. We hope you all have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you all soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.